Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 90 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. I can't believe I've done 90 episodes already. It does not feel like that. I feel like 90 sounds like a big number. I mean, compared to like, you know, the big guns, it's nothing, but 90 for little old Natalie Sprink is kind of something. Wonder if I should do something special for my 100th episode. I might have to think about that. Until then, I am back. I'm alone again, but I'm back to recap the Fantasy Suite episode, also known as infamously now Sex Week or No Sex Week or Kinda Sex Week, depending on how you look at it. After seeing this week, I'm like confused why it was such a big quote unquote joke at the Women Tell All, because like, it was the main controversy of the episode. So why it was a big joke that night, I'm not sure, but ha ha ha. Very funny joke. I'm trying to think if we have any tea to start off with, a bachelor tea. Gosh, I've been kind of busy lately. I'm actually in Missouri again this week. Unfortunately, I did not have Julie come to recap with me again because this episode is coming to you a little bit late because I had some family plans last night. I went to watch my nephew play volleyball, and by the time I got back and watched the show, it was too late. I was too tired to record last night yet. Woke up this morning, had to work. Today's been a busy day at work, so I'm just sitting down now to get a chance to record. So I just wasn't able to be able to have anybody, Julie specifically, help me co-host this. So we'll see about next week, about the finale and what I can do with the finale. But until then, because it's been just sort of busy, I haven't really been following a ton of Bachelor gossip. To be honest, I've been more caught up in the Vanderpump Rules gossip. And if you watch it, if you don't, you're just going to be bored by this. But if you do, they just released the trailer where they are starting to include footage of after this whole scandal with Sandoval and Raquel happened. Still can't believe it. I just think it's insane. I can't even believe they did it for the show to get ratings, because I'm not sure if anyone would be that horrible of a person to pull, even if this was all fake, to get the hate that they're probably getting right now would be like just self-inflicted torture. So, but wow, I think we talked about this last week, but I never watched Vanderpump Rules. I always kind of wanted to. Most people I know that watch it love it, but I just am like, I can't add one more thing to my watch list. Well, I did, especially after this came out, because I follow all these Bravo accounts, and the accounts were just like, my feed was slammed with it on Instagram when this first came out. And so I was just like enthralled. So I had to go back and watch it. So I've only watched season 10, whatever. Anyway, I'm almost more caught up in that than I am The Bachelor right now. But irregardless, here we are. Is irregardless a word? I thought someone said, like I read somewhere that it's just regardless. It's not irregardless. It's just regardless. I should Google that. Is that a word? Let me know. Either way, how about that? Let's start recapping episode Fantasy Suites, Zach's season. We're almost done, people. We are almost done. Also, I wanted to also fit in here that I believe that I'm going to start my Rose interviews again. I have been slacking a bit. I've not been thinking about a list of women to ask. I have asked my sister-in-law, Abby, and she said she would be happy to do one of the interviews, because we, as you know, we're coming up in our off season. So I would like to do Rose interviews. I'm even thinking about recapping Love is Blind, possibly. I'm not sure about that yet. Let me think about that, but I would like to, maybe I can like disperse Rose interviews plus Love is Blind, maybe like do both. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to have some kind of content for our off season, until we learn like when charity season is going to start filming, when it'll start airing and all that good stuff. So, all right, here we go. Zach's Fantasy Suites. You know, I don't feel like I want to go through every detail of every date. I don't think a lot happened in actuality, except for this whole like sex or no sex controversy that went down. My initial thoughts on this are like, so the gist of it is, if you didn't watch, the gist of it is that Zach told Jesse, like came out and made it a thing at the beginning that yes, it was Fantasy Suite week. But he had made the decision that he was not going to have sex with any of the women. And he made that decision because he didn't want to complicate things. He wanted to just spend all the time possible just getting to know the women, like on an emotional basis, on a knowledge basis, not on a intimate basis. And that he just thought that, and this is paraphrasing, but he thought that muddied the waters and just caused hurt feelings and the women to feel insecure, and like he didn't want secrets. He didn't want, like, you know, basically it came down to he didn't want whoever he picks at the end to be like jealous or mad because he sleeps with the other two, that whole concept. Well, if you watched it, we know that didn't work out too well, because he started off with Ariel, and we have learned that her name is Ariel. She pronounces it Ariel because when she read her fantasy date card, she said Ariel. I think most people are saying Ariel. Ariel. It's Ariel. And we start off with, she gets the first date. And he starts off pretty good. He, let me go through my notes here. Let me see if I'm missing anything good that I want to talk about. Ariel is first. Okay. Oh, yes. I did make a note about this. What the hell was up with the shower? Like the 57th shower scene we've had for Zach. I feel like we've gotten one every single episode. And why? I mean, okay, decent body, but hairy chest, like totally hairy chest, plus no better or worse, just like a mediocre, you know? I mean, there's been guys like Colton, for instance, I know for sure. And who am I? I don't know. Probably Clayton. Like, I feel like they had just as good a body as Zach, but we got minimal shower scene time, which is fine. I need one or two. Too much is too much. Like, and it was like very long. It was not just like 1 3-second shower scene. They kept going back to it during one of his whole ITMs. They were just showing him in the shower. And the other thing was, this is obviously fake because he wasn't showering. There was not one soap sud in sight. I kept looking like maybe he's got a little shampoo in his hair because he kept like making look like he was rinsing his hair off. He would let the water run down his head and then he'd like push his hair back. You know how you do like when you wash your hair? Well, I don't really do that, but he kept doing that, but there was no suds. So like, what kind of shower was that anyway? At least like make it be a real shower and like suds up, you know, and dry off and shit. But it was so long. I feel like it was altogether like a 45-second shower scene, but just not necessary. Okay, so enough of the shower, please. Like literally enough of the shower. So anyway, it's RL's date. And of course, because we're going to have this whole sex like narrative on this episode, we have them all interspersing little phrases here and there about sex and intimacy and the importance of that in a date. And Ariel specifically talks about how the physical part of a relationship is very important. So she's ITMing about her you know, anxiousness about the fantasy suite. And they go to this late night food market thing where they're like eating some bugs and eating all kinds of stuff and watching some like fire juggler show. I don't know. But the whole time during it, of course, they lead up to it by showing every probably possible kissing scene that they had on file for the two of them on this date. So they were constantly kissing, constantly making out, looking like the whole time they were getting hot and bothered. And he ITMs that, again, that he, you know, is going into this week not wanting to have sex. And I feel like he was implying here, like, I'm not wanting to have sex, but like, I'm kissing her constantly. So it might be harder than I thought. So then when they like come back from like segueing into the night, like the other nighttime portion. This was a nighttime day portion, technically, that just merged into the nighttime night portion. And they show Gabby already, like this part I hated too. They made it look like she was looking out her window, and then they did this camera angle that was like as if it was her eyes looking down on them walking down a path at the hotel resort place, as if she was looking out the window and seeing them walk by. Obviously, that did not happen. That was completely edited that way to make it look like she was seeing them and being sad, knowing that she wasn't the first fantasy suite date. That part confused me too on this show, because I've always heard that they don't necessarily, I mean, they might sometimes, but they don't necessarily show the fantasy suites in order that they actually were. And for sure, they don't make, it's like they don't let the girls know who's first, second, third. And unless the lead would tell them like, oh, yesterday was so-and-so's. But I mean, I guess obviously if they're not until later in the week, they know that they're further down the line, but they've never made it look before like the girls know at what point they are in the fantasy suite date dates. But she's several times talks about being the second one, okay, which plays into their conversation and as well and her insecurities. But either way, they show her like getting in her head. So then they go back to the date with Ariel, and she, again, they're kind of making a big deal about this terminology of falling in love. And they have Gabby saying, I'm definitely falling in love with him. And no, sorry. I'm reading my notes. That was Ariel that said that on the nighttime portion of the date. I'm definitely falling in love with you, which to me, again, not to go off on this tangent again, but to me is ludicrous, because like, it's like up until then it was like, she was like probably falling. I think I'm falling in love with you, but now she's definitely falling in love with him. Not in love with him yet. She's just falling in love with him. But next week is the engagement. So, you know, for sure this week I'll totally fall in love with you. Now I'm definitely falling in love with you, but I'm almost positively certain almost that I'm going to be in love with you by next week at this time. Sure. I got it on my timer. Like it's gonna happen. So, then Zach does his usual, like mincing his words. And he says that he can see a future with her and thanks her basically for saying, well, I'm falling in love with you, I guess. Thank you. I see a future with you and you. Then, they get the fantasy suite date card where she says her name, Ariel. And this is when he breaks it to her that he doesn't want to have sex. Well, she is surprised and she jokes about it a little bit and tells him like she doesn't like to just like plan things and have in her head like this is or this isn't going to happen, but implying to him like, why do you have to just say that I'm not going to, because if it really feels like it's right, why not do it? Kind of, that was paraphrasing. She didn't say that, but that's what she sort of implied, I felt like. And she's like, who knows what will happen. So then they go in their fantasy suite and they see that there is a pool, and they put their swimming suits on, they make out some more. So then we, I made a note to this too, like totally playing porno music during this little clip of them in the pool. Like it was like, meow, 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 meow. Like it was, you know, it was that kind of music, like totally put that in there to make us think, oh, I bet they're going to have sex. So we come back from commercial and we see kind of some clothes, like the famous shot they like to do of like them in bed, but there being clothes and shoes like thrown here and there. So like in that second, we're like, oh, did they? Because they're like in bed together and cuddling. But he does ITM that they did not have sex. So he actually says that so that we know that. So now it's Gabby's date. So I'm thinking like a day later, but they make it look like it's literally 2.5 minutes later. And they take this little boat to a private island and they have them talking on the beach. And she starts talking about how in a past relationship, she was made to feel like she was always second, like she wasn't priority, but she specifically uses the word, I always felt like I was second. And ironically, she gets the second fantasy suite date, which I do have to say, I agree with Zach in this. He said it at some point, or at least once or twice, like the order doesn't matter really, which I agree with that. I'm sure there's some history and some data that shows like whoever gets the third fantasy suite date goes this far, whoever gets a second this far. I'm sure there's that data, but in general, there has to be an order. And I don't know that the lead or the producers always say, well, we know that the one that's going to win, because I just feel pretty strongly that by the time it's this point that the lead does already know who he wants to pick. They just make it look like he doesn't. But let's just be hypothetical and say he doesn't know. I don't know that they put him in any order to give anyone an advantage over another, because I don't know that there is that. So really, for this particular situation, I don't know why she's so upset about being second. Because just because he picks someone to go on the first fantasy suite date doesn't mean that they're like number one. Whatever it is, she's saying that this is making her really paranoid and doesn't like to be second, so to speak. And so she excuses herself, which is interesting, because if you're upset about this and he makes you feel as comfortable as you say he does, because all the girls keep saying that that's one of his qualities that they like, is that he makes them feel so comfortable, which I would sure hope so, because if you plan to marry the guy, I certainly hope he makes you feel comfortable, because if he doesn't, then why are you still here? But so she's upset by this, but instead of like discussing with him, she goes to seek out her producer so she can vent to her producer about it. I don't know. It's just so weird. I just feel like this is where they like really reel them in. I know they each have to have a producer that is like a shoulder to cry on and becomes like their best friend. But like, I don't think it's fair when you're in a relationship that you're going to this person that is your producer to talk about it when they easily can have ulterior motives, you know? This is where it just seems all effed up. But so she goes to talk to her producer and cries and is worried because she just feels ugly and fat and gross and feels like she's second, and she's like doing all this. So then they show Zach like going to find her, and they sit down again, and she reiterates the thing about being second and how she just feels like she was second in her relationship and she doesn't want to feel second, and she was picked second for the fantasy suites and all of this. And he like just listens like he always does. He does come back with something, like he says something about how like he has also felt second before, and he kind of laughs and says he knows it's hard. I mean, she was really crying during this point. And for him, like when he laughed, it felt very disingenuous and like not nice to laugh. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too critical of Zach, but he says it's a lot and they're all figuring this out and he has her back. That's what he says to like comfort her. I have your back and we're figuring it out. Great. how does that make me feel not second? I mean, it doesn't make you, I have your back. Well, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean you're going to pick my back for marrying you? Or does it mean, what do you have my back about what? And, but then all of a sudden she's like, oh, I feel so much better. And like, I'm going to be happy now. And it's just, and he just made me feel the way I needed to feel. Like, oh, it was just so confusing because obviously if he really did make her feel better, the words that we heard her, him say to her, wouldn't have made me necessarily feel better. I mean, I don't know that they would have made me feel worse, but it certainly wasn't that comforting that I'd be like, oh, great. You got my back. Well, that's all I needed to hear. Okay. So anyway, they go into the nighttime portion and now all of a sudden she says she feels really excited. And that was really great that she could just flip like a switch to like feel so gross and ugly and everything in second best. And then all of a sudden she's just great. She's excited, but good for her. That's good. That's good for her. And she thanks him for making her feel first. Okay. And he tells her he also has trouble with confidence and sometimes looks in the mirror and feels like, who would want to be with me? And that she makes him feel wanted. I'm not saying I don't believe this because everyone has insecurities. Maybe he really does feel insecure, but he doesn't come off to me as this kind of guy. He's never voiced this before. This wasn't his narrative. Like, you know, I can't find love or I'm insecure and I don't like that kind of thing. So it felt like he was just telling her this to sort of empathize with her, which as much as I've talked about him not being empathetic, maybe this was a good thing that he was like trying to empathize and like commiserate with her in a sense, but I feel like it wasn't really that true. But it's weird because like he says stuff to the women that makes it seem like only they make him feel that way. And maybe you can feel a little bit more of this with one girl over another. And with this girl, you fear a little bit more of this than another. But like, for instance, that he said, you make me feel wanted. Well, I feel like that is the case for all three of them. Like extremely, like without a doubt, I think that all three of them make him feel wanted. So it's at times like this, and I know you have to search for words for all of them. And I'm nitpicking probably way too bad here, but it's, I guess, my whole complaint about the show in general, about how it just feels so general and generalized and the things that they say feel so blanket, like they can cover anyone. And I wish there would be more really specific, unique things about each girl that he could point out to them as to why they're special over another one. Because even if you say, you make me feel wanted, is she supposed to think that neither Ariel or Katie don't make him feel wanted? Like, anyway, whatever. Okay, move on. So then they get this fantasy suite card and he tells her about the no sex thing. And she also is kind of like, okay, in her ITM, she says she was sort of blindsided by this and did not expect it at all. Like, why would you? And so they go into the fantasy suite, but she also kind of jokes that we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. And, except, you know, like a friend of mine pointed this out, that like both her and Ariel kind of did this, like kind of joked about it and paraphrasing both kind of said, okay, we'll see. I feel like if it was the reverse, like if the woman said, I don't want to have like sex in the fantasy suites and the guy was like, okay, we'll see. I feel like that would be looked at totally differently. And so I don't think it's fair that we like say that's okay for the girl to say that for the guy. That wouldn't be okay with us if the guy said that to the girl. Like, I feel like that's a general, or that's a double standard. I don't know if anyone else noticed that, but anyway, I agreed with her. I can't say I really noticed that, but when she pointed that out, I was like, that's so true. I agree with that. So yeah, but anyway, then they go into the fantasy suite. They like lay on the bed and they're making out. And Gabby says, Zach says not any sex, but I don't know, maybe not. She ITMs that part. So the next morning is really the same, okay? What we see is really the same. It's just them in bed. They show some clothes. They show some shoes laying around, but it's just them in bed. And that's really, they don't show much. They don't even show them having breakfast much or anything. He just leaves like where they were and leaves, okay? He doesn't say they did have sex. They said that it didn't have sex. But all of a sudden, we see him like having a meeting with Jesse again. And in the meeting, he admits that he and Gabby had sex. And he said that the time was just right. They just both agreed that they wanted to, and it was important to them, and it was important to their specific relationship. But he's having these major feelings of guilt. And he has decided that he just hates himself for it because he like set that parameter and boundary. Like we heard those two words a bunch, but set this parameter and boundary that he wasn't going to have sex. And now he didn't even carry through with it. He couldn't, he lost to the second woman. And Jesse tells him, well, it came like from a good place, but he's like still feeling guilty. He doesn't care. He wants to be honest with the women. Excuse me. Sorry. Okay. Well, which is funny because he was not honest or yeah. If he really wanted to be honest, he should have gone and told Arielle too. And he did not. Right. He did not. So, he basically just wants to get it out there. This was his way, I think, of telling Jesse that he, you know, like making us hear it. It was his way of like us hearing, yes, I'm going to be telling the other women. And yes, I did have sex with Gabby. So he wants to share this with them, but he has no regrets at all because of having it with Gabby, but he just wants to like come clean. And he thought this was much harder than he thought it would be. And then he acts again like he's getting emotional and does like the fake crying thing. Okay, I'm going to like, before I start into the next part, I'm going to go ahead and stop here, take my 30-minute break thing, and I will be right back. Okay, here we go. So he's feeling guilty. And we now have Katie's date coming up, which I immediately am feeling sorry for Katie. I still think she's going to win. But I'm immediately feeling sorry for her, and rightly so after we see what happens, because, so she's getting ready for her date and we see Zach going to somebody's front door. Of course, we're supposed to think it's Katie, but we are not, we don't, it's Gabby. And she does look legitimately shocked to see him. And so he sits down and he tells her that he is going to be honest about them having sex. And the look on her face, in the moment, like when they first started talking, her look confused me, but I'm sure now what her look meant was, because her look was as if like she just had this look of like shock, but yet she was smiling. So I think that it was because the camera was in her face and she couldn't believe what he was saying, but she didn't really want to get like pissed off on TV about it and didn't know how to. I think this actually was a real moment for Gabby because she didn't know how to act because it was on TV and it was this show. And here she thought, because I'm sure when they were in the fantasy suite with no cameras, they agreed, we're not going to tell anybody this. This is going to be like our secret. You know, I'm not going to say it. You're not going to say it. Like no one will know. Which they could have just done that. Like he could have done that. They could have done that. I'm so confused. But anyway, and now she feels like a little bit, well, as she put it, blindsided, but I feel like a little hurt too, because I think she thought this was special because he had said no sex and then he had sex with her. And she felt special and like it was like their thing. And it probably gave her a lot of confidence thinking, well, if he had sex with me, maybe there's a good chance that he's picking me. And so then she ITMs that she felt blindsided and that she felt a little hurt. And she, let's see, where am I going here? Okay. She said she's blindsided because she thought this was between them and now it's between them and everyone else. She does say that. She says she thought it was between the two of them and now it's between everyone else, including meaning all of the millions of people watching the show. And he can tell she's upset. She doesn't act super mad and get like angry and super angry on camera. She sounds more mad in the ITMs than she does to him. but he must be able to tell that she is, because it's like he starts, not backpedaling is not the word, but he starts trying to, I feel like, say things to like make it up to her, or he senses that this isn't what they talked about, so feels like he needs to say some things to appease her. So this is where he tells her she's awesome and he's falling in love with her. You're awesome. Again, we use this adjective again, that is not probably the right adjective to use when you're trying to be specifically tell a woman how special she is, that she's awesome. Like, this shrimp is awesome. Awesome. This pizza is awesome. This weather today is awesome. And you are awesome, Gabby. So she's awesome. And he's falling in love with her. And when he says, I'm falling in love with you, it's almost as if I don't believe him when he says it, because he doesn't seem super sure of himself. And he almost doesn't sound convinced himself, but it's like he's saying it to appease her. So I don't like this scene. It was so awkward. I felt like, because I feel like he was saying it for the camera and she was faking her reaction a bit for the camera. And I guess I don't blame them, because she probably really was upset. And I'm sure there was a million things running through her head and she did want to rip him a new one. The circumstances, it would be terrible. So he makes this big deal. Then he says again that he's falling in love with her. But again, he's falling in love with her. He finally tells her that. Didn't even say, I love you. So it's not that big of a deal, because I feel like there has been many, many leads that have told the contestants, I'm falling in love with you too. Like, fine. Because, you know, there's that definite line, that bachelor line between falling in love and in love. And as long as you don't say I'm in love, it seems to be kind of okay. So he's just saying he's falling in love, which you sure would hope he is if it's like the week before you're engaged. So now it's Katie's date. And Gabby, we left just feeling like not that good. So it's Katie's date. They go kayaking in a river. The whole time he's sort of ITMing about like wanting to tell her right away. So they stop the kayak and they're sitting there and he just jumps right in. This part was made me feel icky about him too. So the whole time he is sort of stammering around about this whole thing and breaking it to her that he had sex. He doesn't say with who, but that he had sex with one of them. But first, back up. So they're sitting there and he says that he needs to talk to her. And I'm sure because of the tone he uses, she knows it's probably not something like, oh, guess what? There's going to be fireworks in 2 seconds. She senses it's probably something that's not great. So she's looking down and kind of like rubs her neck or whatever, makes like a nervous kind of motion. And he was like, you can look at me. But I felt like it was a real condescending kind of look at me. Like not you can look at me, but what he really meant to say was, look at me when I'm talking to you. That's what I feel. Am I just really looking at the bad side of everything with Zach? I feel like I am. But that's truly what it felt like to me. Like he could have easily have said, look at me when I talk to you. But he went, you can look at me, and like laughed real nervous. And was like, you make it seem like it's going to like you're nervous about what I'm going to say. Well, she should be, because what you're going to say is going to like destroy her. So yeah, she should be nervous. That's why she's looking down. So anyway, that's what I've made a note too. Like he says, it looks like you look like, oh my gosh, you're nervous about what I'm going to say. Like I'm about to drop a bomb. Well, you are about to drop a bomb on Katie. It was a bomb for Katie. So he tells her about the sex thing, but he explains it so awkwardly. And maybe that's like a legitimately good thing too, because it shows like a human side of him. Cause I'm sure this would not be an easy thing for anyone to say, but he says it really awkwardly and he kind of stumbles around his words and stammers around, and he does not look at her in the eyes a lot during the time he's saying this. And I wanted her to go, look at me when I talked, well, look at me when you're talking to me, you know, like, look at me, you can look at me. So throw it back in his face. Like, oh, I don't know. I feel like he has red flags about him. I just not sure that ultimately he's a, I don't know. This is just not fair of me to judge him from only knowing him from a show, but I just think that he has shown signs of not being the nicest person ever all the time. So anyway, then he's like, what do you think? Like, so what, like, tell me now, what are your thoughts? Like, here's what I did. I had sex. Okay. Now what, tell me what you think. So she's like saying her heart's beating 1,000 miles a minute. She's clearly very upset. And just the gist of it is that she's upset. She doesn't understand why he had to tell her. He's thinking that he is doing her a favor and is being honest, and that that's a redeemable quality, and that she'll appreciate that quality more than she will the fact that he had sex with somebody else. And she tries to verbalize that, look, I know what I signed up for. I know that this very potentially would happen, that you're going to sleep with somebody else, but I don't need to know about it because I already kind of know it in my head. But hearing it from you directly just makes me feel terrible, especially, I would say, when it's at the beginning of the date. Like, they haven't even started their date yet, and this is the first thing they talk about is him having sex with somebody else. Like, how is that supposed to start the date off? And so they have quite a bit of footage of this. Like, so first they talk about it sitting on this rock, and then they get up and they talk about it, like, standing up as, like, they're leaving the river. And he almost acts as if he's getting a little bit, like, frustrated that she's frustrated. And she's like, well, what did you want my reaction to do? Did you think I was going to be like, woohoo, yay, good job, high five? Which was funny. I thought that was funny. And she kind of giggled and laughed. And she was like, I'm laughing because it's a coping mechanism for me, not because I think this is funny. Like, to be clear, I do not think this is funny. And she's like, well, how did you want me to respond? Like, why are you upset at me about that? And then he's like apologizing, and she ITMs this, but she also says it to him later. Like, you keep apologizing. Like, what are you apologizing for? I don't want you to apologize for having sex with someone. Cause like she said, she figured he was probably going to anyway. So don't apologize for having sex with someone. That's not why I'm mad. I'm mad because you chose to tell me, and you chose to tell me on the beginning of our date. And I did not need to know. Like, I don't need to know that. You don't have to verbalize it for me. And then he tried to play it off. This is later in the night, but later on the night, he tries to play it off like, oh, my mom and dad always said that I was like the best kid because I would like tell on myself. Like, I never like kept a secret. Oh, good for you. Let's put you on a pedestal, Zach. Ew, like, stop. Stop trying to like put a bragging moment in there when you kind of did a shitty thing. Like, I don't, it just is so cringy. Let's see. Let me look through here. So let's see. I made this note that she ITMs. Why are you saying you're sorry? You're not sorry. You did it. And she's upset that the first thing he says is that he had set parameters and boundaries and then not wanting to have sex. Oh yeah. So that was the other thing that she was upset about, because that's how he led the talk. It was that, and yes. Okay. Very true. I'm glad I made that note, because that is the other thing that was bad, because, you know, he announces it to Gabby and Ariel that we're not having sex on these dates. And then he does end up having sex, but like there too, granted, she will see it on TV. She'll see that he said it, but why? Like, he had to say that to her first, like, hey, guess what? Like, I had decided that I wasn't going to have sex on these dates, but then I did. Like, I'm just telling you that just so that you know. So if that were me, it would make me feel like, okay, I had set up parameters, but then I couldn't, like, one girl just was so appealing to me that I just had to have sex with her. Like, that's not going to make any woman feel better. And that wasn't even televised. So ultimately, unless he told her that, she would have never known that. So this is what I think. I'm not sure if I think because there was somewhat a lack of drama this season, and again, I'm kind of blaming things on producers, but I feel like I just can see this happening. I feel like this very potentially is what could have happened, that Zach was telling his producer, like, you know what? I'm not sure that I want to have sex on these fantasy suite dates. And then he tells in private off camera to his producer, like, and why he doesn't want to, like, says, I don't know if I want to. And then they're like, you know, that's kind of a good idea. I mean, you know, I totally see why you would want to do that, but why don't you talk about that? Discuss that with Jesse and like, let's talk about that. Why don't you tell the women? And I think that's a good thing to just put that out there. And like, they made it seem appealing to him to make that part of the show and to let them film that part and let him be that his narrative. Well, because he's a man, he couldn't stand it. To say that women can't let go too, but not let go. Women can't be tempted either, but just saying. But knowing that it's going to be very hard not to, and knowing that if he does sleep with someone, it's going to make a great storyline. So I think producers coaxed him into making this part of like the narrative and the storyline. And once he did it, then his own guilt from even agreeing to do that overrode everything else. And he couldn't stand it and had to tell the truth, probably also knowing how Clayton's season ended up. And didn't want to make it look like he was the bad guy and thought that if, of course, Clayton was honest too, and look what happened to him, but you can't win. So I think that it all just backfired on him, but I think he was coaxed into making that a public thing so that there could be a dramatic ending. And again, it's their way of saying that they want to really promote a love story, but inserting major drama that can make the women have doubts, him have doubts, him feel guilty, the women feel terrible about themselves, blah, 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 blah. Like, again, this mental torturing, so to speak, that very often comes with this show. So that's what I think happened. I think that's how it played out. I don't think any of it was necessary. And, but, you know, it made for good TV. And it villainized Zach a little bit, too, I think. All right. So then what happens is we go to commercial. When we come back, it's a nighttime portion. And I guess Katie's thought about it. And now all of a sudden she's fine. And she realizes what he wasn't trying to be malicious. I don't think he was trying to be malicious in any of it. I don't. I mean, like, I think, again, part of it, I think, is a little bit producer manipulation. Part of it is, I think, honestly, is him being, he's only 26 years old. I don't think that a 35-year-old wouldn't even have thought about like making that a thing, you know? So I think part of it is his youth. I think we forget sometimes that he's 26 because he does look 35. And so I think part of it is also youth. So at the nighttime portion, they talk about this whole thing again. And I noticed in this, I made a note about this in this nighttime portion, that he said the word like so much, like, I just want to let you know, like, that, last night, like when I said that to you, like, I just didn't know how to exactly put it. And like, I just wanted to be honest with you. And like, I think like he said like so many times. And wasn't it even on the Women Tell All where he admitted that he never realized how often he said the word like? Pretty sure that's where it was. But she, she somehow forgets, I made a note, she somehow forgets everything and tells him that he's amazing and it's all smiles for her from there on out. And I also think that probably producers helped with that to kind of salvage the night. But maybe that is their job, like to get in her head and say, look, you know, he was just trying to do a good thing. Don't be mad at him. Don't let it ruin the rest of this trip or this date. So they do their little fantasy suite thing. They go into their fantasy suite. They start making out too. And you don't know how that ends. We don't even get to see the morning version. We get the commercial. It come back. You don't even see what happened with Katie in the morning. In the morning, we immediately just jump to the ceremony. Oh, I wanted to make note too, at the very beginning, this is all taking place in Thailand. And I thought this was so funny and ironic and just weird on a part of the Bachelors for editing, because so often they announce where they're going next and it's like not a big deal, but they make it. Where was it, last season or was it this season, when they were like, we're going to Cleveland. Like that's the big one that everyone was like, woo. Like, we're going to Cleveland. Woohoo. You would think that when you're going to Thailand, you would be like, we're going to Thailand. Woohoo. Like, wow. But when the show started, we just started panning Thailand. And Zach's like, so we're in Thailand for the fantasy suites. Like, they didn't make any kind of big deal about it or anything. It was just like, they're in Thailand. Don't know how they got there. Didn't know that was coming. Nothing. But so the same thing with the rose ceremony. All of a sudden, it's just the rose ceremony. Don't get any morning footage of Katie. And get them all of them walking in. Gabby is still upset about the whole thing with him deciding that he's going to tell everyone about it. She's saying she doesn't even know if she wants the rose right now. He again gives this speech about, so he gets out and says to the three girls, like, I made some mistakes this week. I'd set some parameters and boundaries. And he's talking about this mistake he made without just coming out and saying, you know, that I had sex with one of you. I'm wondering if he did tell Ariel and we just didn't see it, because the things that he's saying in this little speech to them before he gives the roses out, if Ariel doesn't know about it, she has to be like, what are you talking about? Like, I have no clue what you're even saying. Did anybody else catch that? That he was really talking about those, that in so many words, but yet not saying it. But if Ariel knew nothing about that, she had to just like be like, what in the hell? So, all right. So anyway, he gives the roses away and drum roll, Katie gets the first rose and Gabby gets a second. So Ariel's the one that goes home. It's not really a big surprise. This is what I sort of expected. This was so on brand for Ariel, and it's part of what I like about her is that she was so calm and collected. I'm not sure that I've ever seen someone so calm and collected as Ariel. She didn't, either that or maybe she really wasn't that into him. I don't know, but there was not tears shed by either one of them when they said goodbye, but she holds her head high and stays so poised. It just is amazing to me. I wish I had a fraction of that. But she just sat there, listened to him, was gracious to him, said, thank you. I'm so glad I met you. This was a great experience. This has added so much to my life, but did not shed. We didn't see her shedding one tear. He acted kind of like he was going to cry again. Oh, that's a surprise. What? Zach is fake crying. I can't believe it. He puts her in the car. She is upset. You maybe saw a little bit of watering of the eyes, but not much. They didn't even really have much of an ITM with her. And that was it. I mean, he had more of a reaction with Kat when she left than Ariel. But maybe that's kudos to Ariel for just holding herself together and being, again, so poised and just dignified. I was impressed. I wish I could do that. So he goes back in. While he's coming back in, or while he was with Ariel, Katie like says to Gabby, I know that you were the one, meaning I know you're the one he had sex with. And Gabby was like, oh my God, I feel like I have like a scarlet letter on me. And Katie was like, no, not at all. So it was weird. They did this little discussion about it, but he comes back. He seems real nervous. Gabby doesn't seem thrilled. Of course, they did both accept the rose, obviously, even though Gabby said she didn't know if she wanted to. But while they're talking, she is sort of mad because she's ITMing that Zach wouldn't even look at her in the eye. He was only looking at Katie, and that he seemed nervous about her. And this would be me. This would be something that I would totally notice if it were me. Like, if I knew I was the only one he had sex with, I would almost expect that that was meant it was something special and that I had something that the other women didn't. But then he's acting all weird and flustered around me, won't look me in the eye, only looks at the other girl, doesn't keep the secret like they probably agreed upon. I can really feel like I can relate to how Gabby was feeling. So I'm really kind of anxious how this finale is going to play out. I don't know. It was interesting, I guess. You know, some of the scenes they showed us in the previews were misleading and made it look like it might be a little bit more dramatic than it was, but that's their job, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know. It was good. I mean, it was a good entertaining episode. So next week is the finale. I may do another recording next week where if it is a 3-hour finale, which it always has been, so I don't know why it would be. It may again be a little late to record if I have a guest next week. So it's very possible that I will record on Tuesday and release it on Wednesday again, like I've done in the past. But we'll see. I'll try and let you know. But yeah, I, again, really appreciate you guys listening. Just stay tuned for all the things that I hope to, you know, do for the off season. But especially tune in next week as we find out who gets the ring, how any more drama plays out. Of course, they get to meet his parents next week. It makes it look like Gabby's like not happy with him. Yeah, we shall see. As usual, if you guys could go and give me a 5-star rating and put some reviews in there, hit subscribe, hit follow, all the good things. I really always appreciate it so much. I appreciate everybody who listens. I'd love to hear ideas you'd like to have, stuff you'd like to hear, guests you'd like to hear, like topic ideas, anything would be just very welcome. So let me know either on my Instagram or in the review section of the podcast app that you listen to. So I'm ending with today's Bible verse of Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. And it is, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." So I hope all of you have a great week ahead of you, and just be kind to others. Bye.